Part 28, Chapter 3. The small gray man could really eat. Johnny had been surprised at how well the chief had decorated the main room of the spare apartment. Colored paper lanterns, with mine lamps in them, had been hung about. Two paintings, one of a tiger coming toward you in the snow, the other of a bird in flight, decorated the walls. Side tables for serving had been set up. The large center table where they sat even had a cloth on it. Mr. Sung had insisted Johnny don a gold brocade tunic, after Johnny refused to wear a robe of green satin, and Johnny looked quite nice. Some very subdued but kind of squeaky music was coming from someplace. It and the click of dishes that Chief Chong Wan kept hauling in, and the jaws of the small gray men were the only sounds. Johnny had tried to invite Angus, but he had said he had to keep an eye on that moon gyro. He had wanted Stormalong to come, but the pilot was dead tired and catching naps in the ops room. He had asked Chief Chong Wan and Mr. Tsung to also eat with them, but they said no. They had to serve. So just Johnny and the two small gray men had wound up as the diners. Johnny felt that this was a pity, for there was an awful lot of food, and Johnny, so far, had no one to talk to. The small gray men just ate, and ate, and ate. The dinner had begun with appetizers, egg rolls, barbecued loin ribs, and paper-wrapped chicken. These had been served in mounds and had all been eaten up by the small gray men. Then various noodles had been served, pancake noodles, yat ga main, mun yi noodles, war wonton, beef lo mein, yi fu noodles, and gorn lo wonton. Tubs of them. And the small gray men had eaten them all up. Large platters of chicken had been served. Almond chicken, cashew chicken, button mushroom chicken, and lychee chicken. And the small gray men had eaten all that up. Then there had been beef dishes, Mongolian beef, sautéed eggplant with beef, tomato beef, and chili pepper steak. And they had gotten around that. Massive platters of Peking duck, cooked in three ways, had, in its turn, disappeared down their gullets. They were working now on egg dishes. Chicken egg foo young, precious flower egg and mushroom egg foo young. Johnny wondered where Chief Chong Wan had gotten all the ingredients until he recalled that game had been plentiful, including lots of fowl in the lake, and that the Chinese had had time to plant and harvest gardens using an area protected by the dam armor cable to keep the wild beasts out of it. He himself had not eaten very much. Mr. Tsung had had it relayed to him, disparagingly, that most of these dishes were southern Chinese cookery, and that true cookery had evolved in the north during the Qing dynasty when his family took care of things. The Peking duck and Mongolian beef should get his main attention. Johnny had complied. It was pretty good food. Not as good, of course, as his Aunt Ellen's venison stew, but quite edible. The nurse had sent in word he was not to have any rice wine because of the sulfur, but that was fine. Johnny didn't much care for drinking anyway. These small gray men were eating the entire banquet that had been planned for 30 people. Where did they put it all? Johnny took the time to study them. Their skin was gray and kind of rough. Their eyes were a dull gray blue, maybe like the sea, and had heavy lids. Their heads were round and hairless. Their noses took a sharp upturn just at the tip. The ears were a bit odd, reminded one more of gills than ears. They had four fingers and a thumb on each hand, though the nails were very pointed. They really looked quite like men. The main difference was their teeth. They had two rows of teeth, the second set just behind the first.